And so down he starts spiraling down. He's this mighty man of God, and all of a sudden he's on his way down. And basically, he goes into the desert to die. That's it, I'm done. Okay, Lord, my time's up. Thank you very much. Exit stage left. So, God sends an angel, and a supernatural strength comes to Elijah, and he ends up going to Mount Horeb. And there God meets him there. And he comes in these manifestations. The first one is this strong wind that cracks the stone and stuff. And then the scripture says, but God wasn't in it. And Elijah was used to that kind of a God, in the mighty strong winds. And then there was a great earthquake. God wasn't in that. Then there was a fire came by, and God wasn't in the fire. Then all of a sudden there's this still small voice and this small wind, and the Lord was in it. And he wrapped himself, the mighty Elijah, with this little wind. You know, we're nothing. He is something. And he spoke to Elijah in a still small voice. Well, here's what I want to say. God came to Elijah in a new vision. And what was the new vision? Well, first of all, it was that God was going to be a different working God than what Elijah was used to. That was part of the new vision. But there was more to it, because he said to Elijah, why are you here? We all know that God knew why. And you know what's funny? Because Elijah goes into this big spiel. Well, I am so zealous for the Lord. I am super zealous. And once he kind of like sputtered out a bit, the Lord says to him again, so why are you here, Elijah? Apparently, God didn't buy the first excuse. He didn't buy the deflection. And we know from the rest of the scripture there, he was depressed. He was ready to die. Now, he didn't have to make up with Jezebel, because she was doomed for destruction. The Lord had already lauded her for that. But Elijah had to make up. He had to reconcile with this side of himself that just wants to give up. When somebody has hurt you badly, or a circumstance has hurt you badly, you might just want to give up. Maybe you've tried with all your might to muster forgiveness. Maybe you've tried with all your heart to be a better person. But by golly, by next weekend, you're back to cursing again. You aren't any better. You're still bitter. Pastor Sunil, I thought you were going to preach something good for us. Well, don't worry. The good news is here. When we get a new vision, here's the thing. Sometimes we have to be cornered, like Elijah was, before we're ready to receive it. Anybody getting cornered lately by God? Well, if you haven't, don't worry. There's time. He's got time to corner you yet. And when he gets us cornered, he's going to give us a choice. Do you want to be bitter, or do you want to be better? And you can sit there and tell the Lord, God, you already know I can't be any better. And the Lord he'll just shake his head and go, uh-huh. So now here's the thing, though. He came to Elijah because Elijah said, I'm the only one left. And here's the answer that he gave to him. If you look at 1 Kings 8, where is it, 19, 18, I think it is. You want to put that one up. It's the one about the 7,000. It would be 19:18. 1 Kings 19:18. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Elijah was shaken by truth. When the Bible comes to you and preaches something to you, and it's the Word of God hits you, not just the Bible. The Lord is speaking into your heart, and He's trying to tell you something. He's knocking on your door, and He's asking you to open it and say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'll do that." That's when we get to a greater surrender. But we need this new vision in which to surrender better. So Elijah had a new vision given. We need a new vision given to us tonight. I thank God that I can bless my enemies. I thank God I can bless any political party. You know, a lot of people, we get all tied up in politics and stuff, and we put our identity in it. So try blessing your enemies of politics. Try praying for them. Because if you do, you'll be starting to become more and more a son of God and a daughter of God than you ever were before. Or try praying for the person that's hurt you the deepest in your life, or the situation that's hurt you the most. Surrender that to the Lord and say, "Thank you, God, that it's doing something for me to get to know you better now." Whatever it was then, it's something else now. I glory in hardships and trials and situations that are not easy, as Paul said. But I want to get back to this one, because I think we all have this one we have to deal with. Bless them which persecute you. Bless those who hurt you. I'm going to give everybody about half a minute to do that. Silently. Let's just close our eyes. You know, the Lord's at work in us to restore the years, the locusts of Eden. But the truth will set us free, and nothing else will set us free. And I don't think... unless we're able to get to that place where we just... how do I put it? I'm going to put it like this. You at least half-heartedly bless your enemies. You at least half-heartedly bless those that have hurt you. When I say half-heartedly, what I mean is you're going to need God to do the rest. You're going to need God to come in and fill you afterwards. That was step three. But He loves to do that. But we have to surrender. First of all, we need that new vision. Are you able to see these people that might have hurt you, these circumstances that have hurt you? Can you start to see them the way God does? Can we start to look at things the way He sees them? And know that in the end, this is a hard one. Everything's going to line up on one of two sides. That which was for Christ and that which was against Him. He is the dividing line. And I'm not going to get into how what I said tonight is connected to that. But it's the truth that He divides the whole world. And it says in Matthew 25, when all the nations are gathered before Him, He'll put the sheep and the goats on one of each side. And He will speak to each one accordingly. The goats will be judged. The sheep will be welcomed into His eternal kingdom. And how? Why? Listen, the things of God and the ways of God are kind of beyond us, really, no matter how smart we are. But He wants us to be pliable. He just wants us to be bendable in His hands, you know? And I'm kind of amazed at how God cares about small things so much. We have an ex-MMA fighter here. And it just takes one hit for the person to go down. Just one. You can train like for 9 months. Isn't it crazy how one simple little thing can mean so much? And that's how God is. He cares about, oh, Sunil, I'm so happy because I'm going to end my sermon like this. When Jesus died on the cross, there was two thieves that were crucified with him. And the Bible says this, that when Jesus died, we were crucified with Christ. So I'm going to ask you tonight, which thief do you want to be? You got one of two choices. And here's what the two thieves said. Well, let's read a bit of this. Let's go to Luke 23. I didn't give all of that, so I'm going to maybe read a little bit extra. I want to go to Luke. Okay, I'm going to go back just a wee bit here and give us some context. One of the thieves which were hanged railed on Jesus, saying, if you're the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, don't you fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. Which thief do you want to be? Because we're all crucified with Christ. Do you want to be the one who stays bitter to the end, to your death? Or do you want to be the one that got a vision of Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom? Because if we get that vision, did you not notice that this thief was better and not bitter? Even when he was crucified, even when he was going through the most excruciating pain, something rose out of this thief that made him better, not bitter. I believe that for you. I believe that for everyone in this place, that God can do even more than that. Through us, for us, towards us, to make us more like Jesus. Does anybody want to say amen? Does anybody want to say, I believe that too? Let's try that one again. I believe that too. Well, the Lord's got to show us. So God wants to remember you as the one who got the better vision. And in this better vision, got a greater surrender to his will and his ways and became more like Jesus. And as we take those steps, he wants to fill us with the very life of Christ. You know, that is his life. That can flow to us and be somebody greater than we are. That is his life. And if you didn't think it's possible, praise God, hang on, fasten your seatbelts, you're coming for a ride. I'll bring you along with me, I don't care. I'll get the biggest limo bus possible. But let's get closer to him. Let's draw near to him. Let's bless our enemies. Let's bless those who persecute us. Let's bless those who've hurt us. Let's pray for them. Bless them when you pray. You know, if you do all that, you're in danger of becoming thankful. That was a joke. All right, I just want to lighten it up here. You're in danger of becoming thankful. Isn't that a good danger? God loves you, everybody. If this was a little heavy, sorry. I'm just giving you what the Lord's worked on me this last week. And I want to say this, that this releases us from paralysis. This releases us from anger. This releases us from trying to control everything. This releases us to be truly free. And it releases us so that, as Jesus said, you can be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. May the Lord bless you tonight. I hope that sunk in a little bit. I'm just going to pray.